All right, welcome everybody to this session of O365A. Today we're going to talk about dial-in conferencing, and there's been some changes recently to Teams audio conferencing, specifically with audio conferencing policies and around licensing. So today we're going to do a demo walking through sort of right from start to finish on setting up audio conferencing and audio conferencing policies and applying them to your users, and we'll see what it can do. So with that, I'll kick it off with licensing. Always an interesting topic to discuss. So this could be a little bit confusing, but the first thing you want to do is get an audio conferencing license. And you can see here, if you go into your M365 Admin Center, if you go into purchase licenses, you'll have a number of options, purchase services. And if you type in audio conferencing in the search bar, you can see the different audio conferencing licensing options available. This can get a little bit confusing because there's four or five different ones. A couple things to point out is that audio conferencing, the license is now generally free as long as you have that base user license, like an E1, an E3, or even a Microsoft Business Plan license. But the ones that you used to actually purchase are still available there to purchase, so there's no need to do that. That would be the second one in from the left-hand side, the Microsoft 365 audio conferencing. There was also a promo that was good for 1 year that gave you audio conferencing for free, and that's specifically called out in the promo name. That's the third one from the left-hand side. You do not want that one. And if you had previously selected that one, I believe it was good for about a year. So once that year is up, it'll expire and you'll lose the audio conferencing capabilities. So you want to be sure to choose the free version, which is the fourth one from the left-hand side. And even a heads up on that one, there'll be two in your tenant. One is month to month, and one is good for 1 year. So unless you want the pain of getting a new license every month, you'll want to select the year option. And the only way to tell the year option from the month to month is to select the details. So once you have the audio conferencing licensing, you should be set from an audio conferencing perspective. Although one note, if you want the ability to have toll-free numbers, you'll need some communication credits. For that, you can just type communication credits into the same portal and you'll see the add-on there. So with this, you have to give a credit card and pay a certain amount. And then as they're assigned to users and used, it'll draw down that amount. And then you can set it to just reactivate the bulk amount. So that covers communication credits and
I think, licensing. Just one thing to note, I think what Michael mentioned while we were off call is that the amount expires if you don't use it, right? So if you put in $100 and you don't use it within the year, then that $100 will expire and then you need to top up the following year.
Good call out. Yep.
I think there's a minimum buy as well, I think of $25 or 20.
Reminds me of the old Skype consumer credits. They expired after 1 or 2 years. All right, with that, Michael, I think you were going to discuss audio bridge numbers.
Yeah. So once we have the audio conferencing licensing in our tenant, so again, as Kurt was saying, you know, it's included in your E5. So if you have E5s, there's nothing you need to do. If you have anything other than E5, then you have to get that free add-on. And then you want to apply it to your users. So if that's E3 users, you know, E1, whatever, anything that has a Teams license. And what that does is any user that has that license, basically, if they organize or create the Teams meeting, then the bridge information will be on that. And so what is on that bridge information is based on the conference bridges that are assigned to your tenant. So by default, Microsoft will grab some shared numbers kind of globally for your tenant. Now, this may be different depending on the tenant you are. So you may get a number from, say, Chicago, that is, you know, and then 6261, but a different tenant will have a different Chicago number. So these numbers aren't shared kind of for every tenant, but there is groups of large groups of tenants that will share these numbers. So by default, Microsoft gives you, I think, about 70 numbers globally. If you're a Canadian tenant, when you get your tenant, you're going to get a Toronto number, and that's going to be set as your default number. So Microsoft gives you a handful of numbers globally, but then they'll set whatever your region of your tenant, the default tenant setting is, that region will be set as a bridge number if it's available. So in this case, we have, you know, a Toronto number that was given to this tenant that's was created in Canada. And by default, that's going to be set as, or it's going to be set as the default bridge number. What we have now is, based on your licensing, you're able to grab additional toll numbers. So if you say, you know what, we have a Canadian tenant, but we need a number in Vancouver, or we need a number in Calgary, or for a US tenant, do we need a number in Miami or some other location, you're able to grab additional toll numbers in your tenant. How we do that is we go under voice and then phone numbers. And then all we're going to do is add. So we go in here and it's kind of creating a port request or a new number inventory request. You do have to set the name as well as the description. So just put test in here. And test. So I don't know why the description field is mandatory, but it is. Then you're going to pick your country, Canada. We'll want to make sure that we are picking Microsoft as the provider, and we want to grab our conference, dedicated conference bridge toll number. Now, Kurt did mention that you can get toll-free numbers if you have communication credits, so you can get like a North American toll-free or toll-free numbers outside of North America. But basically, we're going to grab a toll number, make sure our operator is Microsoft. We're going to grab a quantity of one. Now, the interesting part here is you can grab it by area code. You know, if we pick an area code that is, you know, maybe in Canada, provincial wide area code, you don't really know where it's going to grab a number. So in like in Alberta, if we grab a 587, that could be Calgary, that could be Edmonton, that could be Red Deer. So although it's easier to grab by area code, you don't actually know what that toll number area is going to be. So if you have users that are maybe in that region, but then it's a long distance from them, that doesn't really provide that much value. So the proper method is definitely to go by city name. Unfortunately, you have to create a location to put that city name in there. So you'll add a location, have an office location, and then you're able to grab like a Calgary number, an Edmonton number, or a Red Deer number. So you do want to take that extra step to define location so you can get a number that is local to that specific location. So I'm going to cancel all that and not add more numbers to Dino's tenant. But once you get a number, so you hit basically the next screen, it'll tell you what your number is. And then all you're going to do is hit edit on the number. And then you're going to basically set conference bridge in here. So unfortunately, even though when you request the numbers and you set a dedicated conference toll number, it doesn't automatically assign it to the service. So you want to make sure you set conference bridge right here. And then when you go back under your conference bridges under meetings, those dedicated numbers will show up now in your tenants. Now you can decide that, you know what, maybe we want, you know, Oakville to be our default number. All you have to do is, you know, click on the device or on that phone number and set as default. And that's going to be your tenant-wide default number. Now, unfortunately, when you change the default number, it doesn't change retroactively to all the users that were assigned. So in Dino's tenant, he's been using this for many years. Toronto is his default number. All his users that are pre-existing now have Toronto as their bridge number. If I was to go and change it to Oakville, all those existing users aren't going to update automatically to change that from Toronto to Oakville. We have to go in and, as Hav and Dino will show, how we're going to manage kind of the ongoing bridge number assignment.
Yeah, and I just think just adding on just to the conference bridge numbers, when you have a dedicated number, you have the ability to assign multi-languages to that conference bridge. So when you click edit on a on one of the phone numbers there, you have the ability to select up to four different languages. So if you required that capability there, right? So just talking about the way that you assign a conference bridge. So, you know, Dina will go into more details on the new way, but the current way, as hopefully most of you are aware, is that you can assign a single conference bridge number to a user so that when you go to the users tab, you can select all the different users that you want. You can specify their conference bridge. So you can do this via the Teams admin center, or you can do it through PowerShell by changing the phone number for that particular user, right? And so in this particular case, you have you only have a single number assigned. And then if you wish to see any numbers that are available within the tenant, you have to click on the, you know, show additional phone numbers, and it will bring up the next, you know, the web page there that shows all of the different phone numbers that are with the that are available to use. So with the new way, you're going to be able to do a little bit more in the phone number, you know, field in the Teams meeting. So I'll pass that back to Dino to talk about that.
Yeah, thanks, Ab. So it was a bit, you know, cumbersome for customers going this route, because you had to, you know, especially when you're doing massive deployments, you were getting onto Teams, you had to think about where the location of the users were. So you kind of had to PowerShell your way out of this to set the appropriate locations. Of course, it's not wrong. I had many customers just decide, you know what, we're just going to give everybody the Toronto number. It's not wrong to do that. It's just, obviously, if they're booking a meeting and they're in Vancouver, and the Vancouverites in that meeting might find it strange that they're seeing a 647 number in that meeting invite. So, you know, and of course, in the meeting invite as well, as have alluded to, let's drag this screen here. Here's an example of my meeting invite. When you click this find local number option, it just brings up a list of all the dial-in conferencing numbers available in my particular tenant. And these are really just a list of all the numbers from all the major countries around the world. And you can see, you know, Canada's got like a London number in here, and it's showing my default Oakville and a Toronto number. So again, this helps other users to gain access to the appropriate PSTN number if they just happen to not like the one that's presented to them, right? I mean, obviously, we'd like all users to join via VoIP, but there are going to be instances where people may have to dial in. So that brings us back into here, what's new. And you can see in the Teams Admin Center, like all things new, they put a little dot beside preview features or things that they want to flag in as new. And this is actually a preview feature. It's called Audio Conferencing Policies. And again, this just basically allows another layer to help us control what numbers should show up in that meeting invite for users. So the global org-wide default is going to be uneditable. It's basically Microsoft had to do this to kind of wedge this feature into the admin center. But basically, what we're looking to do here is create new ones. And this allows us to build a number of different policies out so that we can apply, you know, a Vancouver policy, or say we wanted to do it by province, we're in Canada, and we could have different numbers across province, or maybe you want to do it by across office locations. So if you're North America-wide tenant, then you've got to deal with the US and Canada. So this just lets us build a policy. So in here we can, you know, if I wanted to create a Toronto policy, auto audio conferencing, I'm just going to click that and, you know, say it's for Toronto users. Okay. And then I'm going to say that I want to include a toll-free number. You have the option to include toll-free numbers in the policy or not, and then you've got to go and choose your phone numbers. So I'd like to see a Toronto number in here. So I just type the location of interest. So there's Toronto. I'm going to add it into my policy. And I also want to add Oakville, which is another suburb just outside of Toronto. I can add that number as well. So I've added a couple of different numbers in here. I also want to put a toll-free number in. This happens to say United States. I know for a fact, at least I haven't encountered an issue where this didn't work. At least in North America, any Canadian and USA number that's toll-free are interchangeable. That is, if I happen to pick this number's dialable in Canada and vice versa. So another little tip, if you're in North America, you don't have to necessarily find one that says Canada. I've successfully purchased and acquired US toll-free numbers, and they're dialable from Canada. So I've now chose these three numbers. I'm going to add them And you can see them populate in here. And then now what's nice is I can order these. So if I want the toll-free number to be at the top of my list and the Oakville number to be second, I can go ahead and order them like that. And this is, and then I'll save this policy and then I can apply it to users. And that's, so now I've got this policy. So I can go back into manage users and I can find a user. If I find myself, for example, I go to policies and you can scroll down this long list and you can see the audio conferencing policies here, second from the bottom. So right now I'm set to the org-wide default, but if I wanted to, I could just simply say edit and then it pushes you to the right-hand side of the screen and I can change it to that Toronto audio conferencing policy and we're done. So, you know, again, this will help us create a bunch of different policies. I could have a whole set of three different numbers for other users. So I think that that really helps out the administration experience tremendously. Couple, I think, when we were talking off camera, the guys will keep me honest. I think one of the other things that you should remember is that there's only one global number, dialing conferencing number. And unfortunately, you have to pick one. So if you have a global tenant, and I think we talked about this in one of the previous podcasts, if I have a global tenant that's in the Netherlands, and that's where we first started, and then you know, and you allow the dial out policy in Teams, you know, the ability to do dial out. So if I'm in a meeting and I want it to call me back for whatever reason, I'm at the cottage and I want it to call the local number there, it's going to use the number that global default is. So it may, and that confuses users because they'll often get this Netherlands number calling them. They're in Toronto or somewhere in the Muskokas. And like, what's this number? What's this random international number calling me? And that's unfortunately something that you'll have to educate users on. We're hoping that this, you know, the next step of these global policies is perhaps the ability to add the dial-out number default to them would be fantastic and it would solve that problem. So hopefully that that was informative, and I'll maybe pause there to see if any of the guys had a
comment. Yeah, I just wanted to mention the on the audio conferencing policy, you have the ability to do a group policy, so you don't have to individually assign it to a user. So you can click on the group policy tab, and then what you would do is you would just create a new group policy, assign a rank, and then select a policy that you created so that all users that are assigned to that group would be assigned to that policy.
Yeah.
So then they would get whatever the phone numbers that you define within that, right? And then I think, Tino, if you look, Michael posted a screenshot for us to show about what the new meeting invitation will look like when it's populated.
Not sure if you can see that.
Yep. Yeah. So you just see that there's multiple numbers now on the meeting invite instead of the one toll and one toll free, and we were able to set the order.
That's really useful if you're using toll numbers, right? So if you're cross Canada in this case, obviously people could select whichever is most convenient and cheapest for them, right?
Yeah, I mean, you typically want to hide the toll-free number at the bottom of the list and try and give the yeah. options for the sites that, you know, majority of your users are going to be calling from. And that may change per office or whatever. So,
yeah, it comes down to, I mean, it's funny. Different customers may have a completely opposite approach to that, saying, no, we want the toll-free number first. And they understand that incurs costs. You're paying for the usage of that. So if you're by the minute, so if you've got multiple people using that number per day per meeting, it can quickly add up. So, but it's the user and the organization's choice, but it's good. It's nice that you have that ability.
And remind me again, the communication credits, the usage of that, is it just decremented per call or is it based on the length of the call?
Per communication credits
per minute.
So if you've got 10 users all dialing in, it's per minute per user. So it can quickly add up. I mean, and I going back to that, I always I've yet to have a problem. I mean, I generally recommend my customers starting off just to put the minimum $20 buy-in and let the auto, and then just set the auto reload. It's kind of like the way I treat my Starbucks card. I think it's just because it doesn't fail. It doesn't leave you hanging. It does reload in time, generally. So, and then when they get comfortable, you can bump it up a bit once you know what your usage is, just so you're aware. I haven't had an instance yet where it didn't reload in time. I mean,
I have had an issue where a customer got compromised and they turned off the lobby and they allowed anonymous join and like let people just like externally call into the meeting and run the meeting without any authenticated users. And so they got hit with the auto recharge kept going until the corporate credit card hit its limit. So, you know, put some controls in there. If you're removing the controls of anonymous people having to be admitted and they can go in the meeting on their own, then you definitely don't want to auto recharge your credit card and allow outbound dialing and stuff like that. But yeah, just make sure you're kind of monitoring that usage and you put some gates in there.
There's notifications that are sent, right, when it's at 50% or as it gets low.
Yeah. But if you let it expire and it doesn't auto-recharge, then the bridge stops working. So that's also a, you know, you have to balance between not getting compromised for minutes and then, or toll fraud and then removal of service. Yeah.
Very good. Anything else to add, or I think we're pretty well wrapped up?
That's it.
All right. Great job, guys. That was really useful just to see start from finish how to configure dial-in conferencing, especially with the changes that have been released lately. So that was really good. Thanks, everybody. We'll see you in the next episode.